Support for podcasting on KBIA comes from Grindstone Fitness Studio, a full-service gym offering equipment for traditional exercise like weight and cardiovascular training, as well as specialized classes. Choices include personal training, spinning, yoga, Pilates, and more. All classes taught by certified professionals. More information is available at 443-4447, Grindstone Fitness Studio, 3005 Chinaberry Drive in Columbia.
Hello. From the studios of the Reynolds Journalism Institute at the Missouri School of Journalism, welcome to Global Journalist. I'm Byron Scott, your host for this week's discussion of world news events by professionals whose job it is to report the facts and analyze the consequences. There are a number of topics we could explore today, the world economy or the war in Libya, but we'll save these for future shows. Today we're going to look at a segment of journalistic ethics and practice that always gets the attention of our students, as well as mass media audiences, the coverage of political sex scandals. So listen up. Whether it involves a congressman who can't resist flashing his undershorts on his Twitter page, the peccadilloes of Italy's Silvio Berlusconi, or a World Bank president accused of assaulting a hotel chambermaid, such scandals always seem to be with us, not just in the dog days of August. But do we go too far with our coverage? Do standards differ from country to country? Do there just seem to be more such stories these days? Here to discuss what happens when sex, power, and reporting collide are, from Paris, Jacques Jarmelot, editor at Agence France-Presse and frequent contributor to the analyses of the respected Robert Schuman Foundation, a European Studies think tank. In Oslo.
Good morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning. In Oslo, we have Elmstrøm Holmes, a doctoral fellow at the University of Oslo's Department of Media and Communication, who has done studies of females embroiled in political sex scandals and of such coverage in the United States and abroad. Ellen, nice to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks.
Good.
Nice to be here.
Good. And with me here in the studio, the lady in red to my right, my colleague, Betty Winfield, University of Missouri Curator's Professor and a specialist in, among other topics, political communications under crisis and first ladies and the mass media. Ideal for this discussion. And Betty, I'm going to start with you. We know that sex scandals, at least in this country and in others, are nothing new. Are we in a sort of a place where the only thing that's going up is the sex scandal story count?
Well, certainly historically, sex scandals have been around since the founding fathers. And the political party press talking about Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings. And then certainly in the later in the 19th century, when Grover Cleveland ran for president, and who was at that time a single man, and the question of his illegitimate child. And in fact, one of the sayings of which students learn about in their history books was, Mama, where's your pa? Gone to the White House, ha, ha, ha. And so, I mean,
very catchy.
Very catchy. And I think the issue is that the fact that it takes place in this country is certainly a story. And that it's like, quote, a shock, because these are politicians, or these are people who are supposed to be above the fray and ideal citizens.
And always a delight to newsrooms, particularly in the summertime, but very important nevertheless. Jacques, you have a kind of a dual European perspective in that you are a Parisian, journalist, and your wife is an very respected Italian broadcaster. So you were in amid a rich garden of scandals. Could you...
Absolutely, yes.
Please give us your perspective.
Yes, you're right. I live between Paris and Rome, and it is true that in those two cities, in those two countries, we had our share of what you just called sex scandals. I believe that those scandals are just more than sex scandals, they are political scandals.
Yes.
Clearly, when you are a private citizen is seeking a public mandate or is in charge of a public function, his private life is part of the public sphere. And if he aspires, if a public person aspires to have an impact on the life of private citizen, then you have to have a level of responsibility and decency that goes beyond what you can do as a private person. So I really do believe that beyond the sex scandal, there is a political problem with institutions in Europe, in France, and in Italy. And those two cases, those two scandals, Berlusconi and Strauss-Kahn, do illustrate the problem that we have on the political level.
Let me turn then briefly to our third panelist, and let's ask you, Ian. What about the role, particularly of women in all this? Because 9 out of 10 scandals are between genders, and usually the woman is the turns out to be the victim.
Yeah, most certainly. I've been looking at female politicians from a Scandinavian perspective, and Scandinavian scandals in themselves, there are very few sex scandals in Scandinavia compared to, for example, UK or US or Italy or France, for that matter. It might be that this is something to do with there's other sorts of norms or codes. And when it comes to female politicians, I find very few, if some, scandals where female politicians are involved in sex scandals.
Let's talk about those cultural codes. There's been a lot of discussion about those different standards in terms of the accusations against the president of the or the former president now of the World Bank, who may be a future candidate for the presidency of France. Jacques, could you touch on that?
Look, I think the what happened with Strauss-Kahn is that he has damaged in a very clear and almost historical way the perspective of politicians that we have in my country. Again, beyond the details and the of what happened in this hotel room in New York, and also beyond the judicial case that was dismissed a couple of days ago, I think that the problem is that he has created the impression that, and he has clearly played into the hands of those who believe that politics stinks, that politicians are arrogant, they are using their power for not only to gain money, but also to get access to sexual services. And this is something that comes down very, very badly on in France and also in Italy with the scandal surrounding the Prime Minister Berlusconi. And it opens the way to people that have a simple answer to those questions, and those are the populist movements. And either on the far right, as we have in France, or on the Northern League, which is also a far-right movement, political party in Italy. And those people come up with a very simple answer, saying, listen to us, politics stinks, we have simple solutions for complicated issues, and vote for us. And that's what
you haven't said a lot, I think, that Americans would disagree with yet. Let me ask Betty Winfield to give us the American side, and perhaps are we too prudish? Are we too puritanical?
Well, certainly historically we have been, but look at what the media cover. The media cover the sexual relations when they find out about it. That's what they cover in this country. I'm not sure, and Jock and Inland can correct me on this, that sexual relations outside of marriage are not such a newsworthy story in another country. It's only when it is used in some hypocritical way or as corruption in appointing ministers that were mistresses, or corruption in the sense of an underage, or using social networks for telling about this. So I think there's a difference in coverage of what it is as a sexual scandal. In this country,
talking here about sexual relations. We are talking here about a very powerful man using his position to get access to sex, either by paying for it or by using his bargaining power as a client of a big hotel or as the head of a powerful institution. So it is this
or
aspect
an entire government
that goes down very, very poorly with the French public opinion. The arrogance of power is something that comes down very, very poorly in difficult times. And when you expect from someone like Strauss-Kahn to lead the country out of an economic crisis, out of unemployment, out of the issues that go largely beyond his private life, you expect from him a level of morality and level of credibility that clearly he did not display the day he had this encounter with this young woman in this hotel in New York.
And then we'll come back to poster child for all this, the Prime Minister of Italy, in a moment. But, Elin, I'd like you to tell us, are things just quieter in Northern Europe? Or I know that you've studied this issue in the United States and other countries as well.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's, there's not less scandals in the Scandinavian countries or the Nordic countries for that matter, but there's other scandals. There's not sex scandals, but there's power scandals, or there's scandals related to money.
I'm so relieved that you still have scandals. I wouldn't imagine what newspapers and some TV networks could do without them.
It would be really boring with my project if I didn't have any scandals.
Right.
But it seems like, at least in Norway, people are more upset about a politician cheating on his or her taxes than cheating on his or her wife or husband.
Okay. Let me interrupt here just for a moment. And before we continue this discussion, I want to remind our audience that you can view or listen to this program anytime by downloading our podcasts at globaljournalist.org. And you'll also be interested in the articles, online discussions, and other features that are part of that same website. You also can send us questions or comments, care of Global Journalist Program, one word, at gmail.com, or simply look us up on Facebook. Let me go back to that. We really don't want to talk about taxes. We talk about taxes too much here in the United States, it seems to me. Even though in the British Parliament lately, a government minister's husband was actually using her parliamentary credit card to buy porno movies. It's usually that it's the male who is accused. Gary Hart in the 1980s, Betty actually challenged reporters to come follow me, and they did, and he lost his status as a presidential candidate.
But what became newsworthy is the hypocrisy. And I think in this country, what we have is the hypocrisy of it all. And that really came out with the Clinton impeachment and so many of the members of the House Judiciary Committee were found to have had sexual relations outside of marriage, one after another. And so it was the hypocrisy that became the news. I think what we forget in all of this, whether it's in the United States or in Europe, is the fact that of power. And Henry Kissinger said it best, I think, which is that power is a major aphrodisiac. And so, I mean, if you think about power, and I don't care how ugly the person is or, you know, or how old or whatever, it's the power that becomes the sexual attraction. And I think that's true all over the world. I was in China during the Clinton impeachment hearings, and the Chinese would say to me, we don't understand you Americans. I mean, Jiang Zemin and Mao had girlfriends everywhere. What's going on with you guys? You know, we don't understand it. So it's really understanding, I think, not only the relations in this country, but the hypocrisy about it that becomes newsworthy.
Yeah, but
yes, go ahead.
But if I could jump in, if I could jump in to add something to all this, the problem is not so much the attraction of power, which is fair, which is part of a normal life of politics. Here we're talking about people in power, the Prime Minister of Italy or the head of the International Monetary Fund, the candidate for presidency, that basically are paying for sex. Now, the question is whether those people are ready to justify prostitution, to accept paid sexual services and as a part of the economy. Here, it is a political problem. You just cannot go away from your responsibility as a public person by acting in that manner. It is not a question of whether you have the right to do whatever you want behind closed door in your room. It really has to do with whether you apply the same moral and political standard to your behavior to the behavior of the other citizens.
So would you have said then, Jacques, that had the same thing occurred in the United States, as occurred in the United States with Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton, that the president of France would have been impeached?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it is two completely different cases. In one case, you had a powerful man that is flirting and having sex with an intern in the White House, and that it is a very compromising position for the president of the United States. And if he believes that he can stand the heat and keep staying power, that is a political decision. But it remains within the political. There is nothing legally wrong about this. The problem with Prime Minister Berlusconi is that he's having sex for money with young ladies that are underage. And clearly the problem with the Strauss-Kahn is that either using his influence or whether he is using his money, he had a sexual encounter that he presents as consensual and that she presented as not consensual in a hotel room. And it gives a very, very poor image of someone who wants to become a president. If you take the responsibility of running for the presidency of a country, then you've got to be able to to set up some moral standards that you know go beyond the one that you expect from a private citizen.
We haven't gotten to the question yet of whether or not, and Elon, I'm going to ask you to make that to comment on that. I'm also going to ask you, Elon, to get us on the segment of are we going too far or not, or and why does it seem that we've always got one of those sex scandals or another on our news list these days? Are they becoming more frequent?
I just first wanted to comment on what Betty said about the hypocrisy. That's completely true in the scandals, and especially sex scandals. But another thing that is relevant in sex scandals is what you call second-order transgressions. That means that it's not the scandal in itself, but it's the denial that follows the scandal, that you're awkward about admitting that you've done something wrong, and you saw it especially in the Clinton scandal. Moving on to if we're going too far, that's kind of hard to answer. The media absolutely has suffering from like the huge competition in the media. So that's sort of the result of the competition in the media, that they're always after getting something out there. It's like a 24-hour news circle that keeps on spinning. And they sort of have to fill the minutes on air, on the radio, in the newspaper, and sort of the scandal sort of has sort of makes its life on its own, after a while.
So, in this competitive atmosphere, do we go too far or not? I think we've done a really good job of explaining our justification for doing these stories, but I don't think we've responded yet to the question of, are there limits? Do we sometimes reach those limits? Betty?
Well, I think it's cultural. I think it's cultural about what are the limits. Now, from what I'm hearing from Jock is an Elliot Spitzer who went to a prostitute, okay, would not be resigning, okay? But in this country, prostitution, except in Nevada, is illegal. And so then the question is whether he did something illegal and then he resigned from being governor of New York, or whether, so the line that Ellen was referring to after the fact becomes certainly another story. In other words, the story elongates not only from the discovery, but the line about the discovery and the continuation of it. And then whether the question is this legal or illegal? And look at the governors we've had. I mean, certainly in recent memory, not only Schwarzenegger in California, but Mark Sanford in South Carolina that supposedly went hiking on the Appalachian Trail, but was actually in Argentina, and then Governor Spitzer. So on and on and on. John Edwards, a presidential candidate. So the question is about lying about it, which Ellen pointed out, but also, you know, the result of that, is that legal or illegal? Would it help if everybody just said, okay, yeah, I did it, sorry, you know, and leave it at that?
Well, then looking into the future, and as we're running low on time, are we going to have sexual behavior as part of our regular coverage of presidential candidates, of whom there are, at least on the Republican side, an incredible number right now? We're approaching a baker's dozen, I think. And an ad that was placed a couple of weeks ago that asked the public if any of them had ever had sex with the governor of Texas.
Well, we at least we can joke about it. At least we can find some humor about it. One thing we're missing is the social network connection. And certainly with the new media, the social network, and whether indeed the social networks actually flaunt, you know, in a public way, a private part of life. And certainly this became an issue with a rising politician in Germany, Christian von Boechner, okay, who had to resign leadership positions because he was carrying on a relation with someone who was 16, which is legal, by the way, in Germany, as twice, you know, he was twice the age of this young woman. And
only
he
twice,
did it on the
gee.
And
Mr.
Yes.
Berlusconi does better than that.
but also the fact that it was on a social network, and why wasn't he worrying about the economy or doing something about the economy instead of spending a lot of time on his social network page?
Jacques, can you respond to what Betty just mentioned? She began by saying a lot of it is cultural.
Yeah, but look, there is a cultural dimension there, but at the end of the day, the press is not doing too much. It's the politicians who are doing too much. It's the politicians that are slowly moving from their political duty to what power brings to them, which is money and the perk of money and power. And that's the big problem. If you look at the way Sarkozy started his presidency, going to a very fancy hotel in Paris and then getting onto a yacht for one of his friends for some vacation, all this is not the attitude that can be expected from a politician. So the money and sex are becoming part of politics in a way that are bringing suddenly a lot of bitterness and resentment in the citizens of some countries in Europe. And we will see through the polls next year that this resentment and frustration and anger will bring to close to power or in power movements that have a populist dimension, like Marine Le Pen in France or Bossi in Italy, and are very close to being too far on the right.
Okay, let me. I'm going to have to bring this discussion to a close now. And Ellen and Betty, I'm going to give you each about 30 seconds each on the future of these kinds of stories. What can the audiences look forward to?
They will continue.
Good, very good.
Absolutely. Yeah, they will absolutely continue. And I think it's interesting what Betty told about the new media, like Facebook and Twitter, politicians using them to get in touch with the public, but they could most easily also result in their downfall because the media, it's like a private but also a very public.
Okay, I'm afraid I'm going to have to interrupt you there, Ellen, and I'm disappointed that I have to, and I know our audience is too. I want to thank our guests, Professor Betty Winfield, Ellen Strand-Hormis, and Jacques Charmelot. Our lead producer for this show is Jessica Popovac. Our director is Travis McMillan, audio by Pat Akers. Other Global Journalist producers include David Cawthon and Ryan Kress. Our video producer is Tim Wall, who did the visuals before leaving for Honduras. This is Byron Scott for Global Journalist, reminding you that you can download, view, or listen to this show, plus additional features, by going to globaljournalist.org. Join us next week as journalists open their journals to put you inside their stories. And now, stay tuned to the latest edition of Free Press Watch.
And now, Global Journalist Free Press Watch, where each week we bring you a roundup of major events in press freedom around the world. I'm Jessica Popovac. This week's reports come from the Committee to Protect Journalists, as well as Al Jazeera and The Washington Post. On Wednesday, U.S. journalist Matthew Van Dyke was one of several inmates freed from a Tripoli prison after rebel forces took control of the city. Van Dyke's mother reports that he called her with news of the escape and that he is in good spirits. Van Dyke is a freelance reporter from Baltimore. He went missing on March 13th. That same day, four Italian reporters were reportedly captured by forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi. CPJ reports that they are being held in a Tripoli apartment. And in Israel, state authorities continue to hold Samir Alawi, Al Jazeera's bureau chief in Afghanistan. The news agency claims Alawi was on a family vacation near his hometown in the occupied West Bank at the time of his arrest. He has reportedly been asked about work login information, management details, and other questions related to Al Jazeera. Israeli authorities, meanwhile, are accusing Mr. Alawi of being an affiliate of Hamas. And in the United States, three Chinese writers have filed a lawsuit against California-based Cisco Systems, claiming that technology developed by the company helped lead to their recent arrest and imprisonment. The writers say Cisco helped the Chinese Communist Party develop and implement their far-reaching internet censorship system. Their lawyers claim that in addition to blocking content, the system has the ability to instantly identify and locate internet users. Cisco has denied the charges. As always, you can find links to more information on these and other stories on our website at www.globaljournalist.org. On behalf of everyone here at Global Journalist Radio, thank you for joining us.